We have, when we visit a city around the state, we like to have, find out what's going on in terms of blind services in that city. And so we have, as a result, invited the CEO or president, or I forget, everybody has so many different titles nowadays, I forget what you are. You're the lead dog, and the head, the boss, you know, the go-to. The head of the Olmsted Center for Sight, I believe, is the name now. So I'm going to put her on. I'll have a question or two, but I'd like to put on for whatever she has to say for at most 15 minutes because we just ran behind schedule. Tammy Owen. Tammy, your mic is yours.
What's new? How is the world treating you?
Very good. Very good. Well, it's wonderful being introduced as the lead dog. I love that. Love that. Thank you. So good morning, and certainly welcome to Western New York. We're thrilled to have you here visiting with us, and it's just so great to see each and every one of you. And certainly, Carl, thank you for all the work that you have done and continue to do, and other leaders in the room, Mike Robinson representing our local Buffalo chapter, and certainly Brian from the commission. We just have such great leadership representing everything that we do. So an update on what we're doing here in Western New York from the Olmsted Center standpoint. You know, our primary mission, as you well know, is really to maximize the independence of the individuals that are legally blind and visually impaired. And we have extremely comprehensive programming that we offer from Olmsted. In the past year, we serviced over 80 students or young children from preschool age up through high school, in trying to maximize their ability to be successful in the educational and academic environment. We had the opportunity with 30 adolescents that we had involved in either weekend retreats or in our summer we actually offer a six-week program that they come and live in one of our college dorms, and we work with them on increasing their independence, their confidence, and then work with them in their career interests. So we actually introduce them to internships that they actually go out and spend time with employers over a six-week program. So that's really a highlight of our summer. We worked with over 1,000 seniors in their homes, trying to keep them independent and living independently. And really, to date, we have really over a 95% success rate in keeping individuals independent and living in their homes. And then on the career training side, we had another 45 students go through our career training school, and over 80% of those individuals have been placed in gainful employment. Some examples of that, we have an individual who had previously worked in the mortgage department at M&T Bank, and we were able to put her through our programming. She stayed with us for about maybe 2 months, and recently has returned to her position at M&T in the mortgage department. We had an individual who's now in a leadership role in one of our local nonprofit agencies. We placed an individual as a front desk customer service specialist at a new building in Buffalo. We have a lot of individuals that we've placed in call center departments. In addition to that, one of our own Olmsted employees, we are sponsoring him through the NIB Leadership Training Program. So he's had two sessions with the group down in Washington, and we have some internship opportunities that he's working on to try to develop those skills. So we're really proud of Gary, our employee. And then we also continue to really leverage the expertise that we have in our agency from a technology standpoint and go out and work with employers in trying to convert their software so that it is accessible and it isn't a barrier for individuals with a visual impairment to be employed. And then we've spent a great deal of time really trying to increase our partnerships with the different agencies that we have the same mission. Certainly through with the Commission for the Blind, Brian and his team have just been great partners with them. And locally, under Brian's leadership and the leaders that we have in Western New York, we've spent a number of days working together on how do we redefine the curriculums that we offer, what are the new curriculums that potentially we could put in place through our career school, and we've really altered those curriculums to really update them and meet the needs of individuals. And then similarly, through the New York State Preferred Source Program, Olmsted has really had a much greater presence than we have had in the past for really increasing the amount of work that comes to the Western New York area. So Olmsted has hired an individual who's responsible for business development, and he has really been out working with employers as well as with PSP trying to bring more work to Buffalo. And it has resulted in more work to our manufacturing department as we landed a few more contracts making some of the high visibility vests that we make. And then with NIB, we've been also much more involved with NIB than we have in the past. In January, we landed a very large contract with an international lighting company that actually allowed us to bring on 8 full-time equivalents that are legally blind for work. It's call center work where they're actually doing business development for this lighting company. What else? We're currently working on a partnership with one of our sister agencies in another state that has over $25 million worth of business that they do. And they are very interested in partnering with us in Buffalo. Instead of trying to grow, you know, more jobs in their state, they said they'd rather partner with us to try to grow more jobs here. So we're really excited about that opportunity. And then lastly, our Lions Clubs. We have over 58 Lions Clubs in Western New York, and we're really working much more collaboratively with them in using their energy and outreach into our community to better meet the needs of individuals in Western New York. Olmsted, over the past year, employs 75 individuals that are visually impaired or legally blind, so we look to continue to try to grow that number. A couple of other highlights. We just hosted Tyler Kirk, who is a Washington-based attorney. He came in for our leadership series. We had over 100 people, a number of individuals from local law firms and other organizations that came and listened to Tyler and his motivational speech. And then twice a month, in an effort to really increase the awareness of what we do and increase the awareness of the talents of individuals with visual disabilities, we are hosting what we are calling eye-openers at the Olmsted Center. So we bring individuals in from the community, they tour through our agency for an hour, and we actually introduce them to some of our associates, and I'll tell you, there isn't one of them that we've had where people don't walk away much better informed about the high capabilities of people that are legally blind. So that has been very successful. So we hope that we can continue to fulfill our mission and expand what we do, and just if there are things that that anybody thinks we should be doing a better job or sees opportunities for us, we're always open for people's input. And the last thing that I wanted to mention was the commission was very instrumental in helping us over the past year to really face something that has been a part of our organization for a long time. But I'm happy to tell you that at the end of the year, we are surrendering our Section 14 certificate.
I want to thank you for that, for surrendering that certificate. I'd like to also follow that up with a question. You said before that you were increasing the opportunities for the blind in your manufacturing. Maybe I misheard, maybe I misunderstood. I've also been told by the rumor mill that you have laid off a bunch of people in the manufacturing area. One of those statements is true, one of them is not. I'm not sure if I've misunderstood or if there's something there that I'm missing. Could you clarify that at least for me?
Sure. We have increased the work, the business that has come into our manufacturing department. We have not increased the number of employees in our manufacturing department. So as a result of having to surrender our certificate, it is impacting some individuals' employment. We are working with the commission to try to find those individuals' work opportunities that are commensurate with their capabilities. But right now, it is impacting them as far as being employed through Olmsted.
So if I understand this right, then the people who remain with you will be making a higher dollar because their work, your number one, has increased, and now they will be paid at least minimum wage.
That's correct.
So to remain with you is a benefit because my pay will be increased. But at the same time, some people will have been laid off, and it's the commission that will be taking the responsibility for seeing that these people are better.
Yeah, we are working directly with the counselors from the commission to evaluate and work directly with those individuals.
Very good. I can take one or two more questions if I just got my mic switched. I just got mic switched because that one was really feedback.
Yeah,
we've got some really lousy sound quality today. Anyway, having said that, Laura, I've got you. I want to see. I'll take at the most three questions. Who was after Laura?
I have just one.
Diane. Okay, Diane, I'll get you. Now, hold on. Laura, go ahead.
I have one question. Are you saying that the commission surrendered 14C and will be paying the people who earned way less than minimum, that they will be raised to minimum? And would they be given a number of hours to receive this, you know, like 20 hours or 30, would they be given a livable amount of money with the raise that you're going to give them?
Yeah, the individuals, and I don't want to get into specifics with
maybe you can clarify
the privacy
in lay
of individuals,
terms.
But there are some individuals that are going to be laid off that were making subminimum wage.
But that's not as a result of the change.
But since you're giving up the certificate, those who remain with you are going up to at least minimum wage, if not better.
That's correct.
And the fact that you're increasing your workload means that those people will get an increase more work and better money. Is that correct?
For individuals that are, we will continue to employ some of the individuals in our department that are just legally blind. And they have been making minimum wage, and they'll continue to make minimum wage or above minimum wage as long as we can continue to increase the amount of business that we have.
Very hold on. I'll give you the thing, Kevin. Hold on. Let me pass the mic to Kevin. Let him pursue this, and then Diane, I did hear you.
I want to speak just
before
she does.
I always say that as a national representative, I can come in and cause all kinds of trouble because I leave tomorrow. And also I say that at my age, I'm easily confused. Or maybe it's not age, maybe it's something else. So run this down for me. First of all, I applaud loudly that you're going to give up your 14C exemption. So that is fabulous. We're together there, right? I'm understanding this, yes?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, are you saying because you're giving up the exemption, you ultimately are going to pay people more money? Stop me where I'm wrong.
No, we are not.
Okay, so there I'm already wrong. Mm-hmm. So tell me what you're doing.
There are individuals that are under that certificate based upon their capabilities that are not making minimum wage.
Right.
That we will give up that certificate.
Right.
Those individuals will no longer be working at Olmsted. Their capabilities are being assessed through either OPWDD or through the Commission for the Blind, and if they qualify for certain kinds of employment, they will be able to apply for that employment. But it is not Olmstead's, unfortunately, we don't have the capability to keep people on that are not able to do the work at the at a competitive rate.
So I guess I applaud you on one hand. Mm-hmm. So it's a one-handed applause, mm-hmm. Which is pretty quiet when you think about it. On the other hand, I guess I'm concerned because you're falling into the old, frankly, and I don't mean to be rude because I appreciate that you're here very much and I appreciate the step forward. But in my view, you can stop me where I'm wrong, in my view, you're falling into that old sort of myths and misconception. Your job, in my view, in this sector is to provide the kind of training and job engineering that will allow people with disabilities to compete. And why you say, okay, this is the old saw that we hear from Goodwill and other NIB shops that say, well, if we pay these people, more than the minimum wage, you know, these folks that are making $2 or $3, they're going to lose their jobs. And that's frightening. And in my view, it's not fair. And in my view, that is not in keeping with the mission of organizations like you. That's not fair. That's not fair. You want applause on one hand, on the other, you know, the one hand giveth and the other four hands taketh away. I just am really concerned about that kind of approach. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yep. And
Carl, hold on, folks.
Let Tammy respond.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are absolutely committed to getting more work. We don't have enough work, and we, you know, again, working with NIB engineers, trying to reinvent jobs that are done by individuals with vision for people without vision, we are committed to doing that.
Okay, I've also been asked by Brian to give him the mic for a few minutes, so let me let Brian trump some of the other people who've been asking, and Brian, for what you care to say, go ahead. Do you have a mic, Brian? Do you need
one?
Yeah,
I do. Okay. Can you hear me? Yes. Thank you, Carl, for giving this opportunity to speak. And I was planning to reserve some of these comments for later this afternoon, but I certainly wanted to say this here with our friends from Olmstead, our friend Tammy Owen here, present to hear this as well. Last year at this same convention in Albany, you very appropriately and rightfully challenged the Commission for the Blind to work with the Olmstead Center in particular, but in others, to address the situation. And we responded, and we did just that. And the real substantial meeting that CEO Tammy Owen and I had, I left that meeting not only very satisfied then that the best possible response, maybe not the ideal one, no, but the best possible response, in my opinion, under the circumstances, was certainly responded to by Tammy in particular. And we talked about just what we're talking about today and the realities. And to tell you the truth, I had read something by our good friend, Anil Lewis, from NFB National, who said, lamented, understandably, that this is some of the reality that we have to face when we're making monumental transition. We at the Commission for the Blind recognize that. We agree with what we, and I certainly agree with what I interpreted from the NFB National, and I would love to also debate this because not even the NFB, I know, I've learned over the years, shares always the same opinion on everything, and we have an opportunity to debate and discuss it, which I certainly am very much open to doing. I have to say, too, that my response, thank you, my response to Tammy at that point, too, as she alluded to, was the Commission for the Blind is here to help with this situation. As she said, our counselors are working. We're working hard. This is the reality that we realized at the Commission for the Blind that we had to confront with the Olmstead Center in order to respond affirmatively to the appropriate challenge that you gave us last year in Albany. So yes, we have an issue that we're dealing with, and yes, I believe in my heart of hearts that Tammy Owen and the Olmstead Center is addressing it to the best of the abilities under the circumstances and with us as partners. Now you can push us too. please feel free, obviously, to disagree with us, but please understand that this is the reality that we're facing. This is the reality that we must face, and we have to take this and do something with it. We share that responsibility to take the society that we have, work together to improve it. So again, in that next generation, as we said before in our opening blessing, that the next generation will be back here rejoicing for what we did. The ride will be bumpy, it will be challenging, but we'll be richer for that ride, and we'll be richer for this debate, and we will get to it. I ask that the NFB support the Olmsted Center and the Commission for the Blind as we move forward doing the right way.
We will take those things under advisement, Brian. I hear a lot of people not wanting to, but we will discuss. This is open for discussion, obviously, and we will be discussing this. I think you make fair points, Brian.
Before you open it for...
I'm not going to open it now. I'll open it later, okay, because we don't have time this morning.
All right, very good.
Tammy, if you wish, I would invite you to stay this afternoon. Brian, it's up to you, because we will discuss some... But I still have another presenter on. Diane, I did promise you a bite at the apple. Do you still want one? Okay, just a short one, because I promised you, otherwise I would have cut you off.
My question is, what services does the Olmsted Center provide for a person who's visually impaired or blind in computer skills that is not under a vocation because of the lack of teaching or ability to get assistance? You leave a whole gamut of people who are blind who will never be able to fit into the world as it is today. I have tried to get some assistance from the Olmsted Center, and it's fallen on deaf ears. And I think it's just a terrible situation. And I'm not only saying the Olmsted Center, NFB doesn't seem to address it either. It's all about vocation. If the government doesn't pay, then Olmsted doesn't do. And I don't think that's what Olmsted should be about. Thank you.
Okay, Tam, do you have a brief response? Otherwise,
We offer, outside of vocational curriculum, we offer computer training that's paid for through the Commission for the Blind.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so we...
Diane, she's trying to answer you. We can argue in the hall. We are going to take some of this up this afternoon. The only thing that I would ask of people when we take some of this up this afternoon is that we be polite to each other, and then we not yell at each other this afternoon. It is frustration. It is very frustrating. I've had those frustrations myself. Folks, Tammy, I know that this is a hot-button item, obviously. And are you able to be with us this afternoon? Tammy has said she will be with us this afternoon when we take this issue up this afternoon then. We'll take it up. We will take it up partially during Brian's slot, but I can't give the whole issue over to this one issue, but Tammy will be here to discuss further this issue with Brian to follow up on some of the remarks that Brian asked us to do before.